And now, it's Media One Radio Group's local public affairs radio program, Community Spotlight. We're asking the questions you want the answers to.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Community Spotlight, the Media One Radio Group's weekly public affairs program. I'm News Director Terry Frank. A look back on election night in Chautauqua County. The legislature approves a new 2022 budget in the county and what's next. And COVID numbers remain stubborn in the county according to the weekly numbers. All that this week and more as time allows with Chautauqua County Executive P.J. Wendell of Lakewood. And P.J., welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's take a look back on election night this past Tuesday. I should mention that you were reelected this time to a full four-year term in office. You have now won two straight elections. Your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I'm very humbled. I said it last year and again this year that, again, very humbled that the residents of Chautauqua County came out and supported, you know, myself and my administration. I just got a text message this morning of a picture from the Dunkirk Observer, where last year's numbers, I think, were at 71% of the vote. This year, we were a little over 72%. You know, that again, very humbled that that many residents, you know, support my administration and what we're doing here in Chautauqua County.
It was a red wave, at the very least, a red tsunami to say, wow. Republicans did pick up an additional seat for the Chautauqua County Legislature, making a 15-4 majority. Your thoughts about that?
Well, the seat that we're talking about was, you know, held by a Republican prior to the last election. So for 2 years that did switch. But even that, the legislature as a whole, you know, a lot of criticism in the last, you know, during this campaign that, you know, the legislature's a rubber stamp and there's not any more engagement. And I beg to differ. You know, our legislature works tirelessly behind the scenes. They work at the committee level prior to the legislature meeting. So, you know, I'm very proud of the work we can do bipartisanly, both sides of the aisle. You know, we get things done, we sit down and we talk about issues or any concerns we've had. And, you know, as you've seen with our ARPA funding, a lot of criticism, but was passed unanimously. The budget, again, that's a bipartisan group and led mm-hmm. by Chuck Nazaro as our audit control chairman. And they really took a good, hard look at the budget, which they're required to do, and it's their task. They take great pride in that. So when I look at, you know, the control we have is now 15-4. I don't look at it as the super majority. I look at it as, you know, just our abilities to work well again together and for the next 2 years as this legislature will be in session.
You mentioned Chuck Nazaro, who is retiring at the end of this year as a member of the legislature. I wanted to get your thoughts about that because I know he's a facts and figures guy.
He is, and I'll tell you, we spoke that, you know, we want to find ways to keep him engaged just for that simple reason. You know, when you have somebody who spent their career in finance as part of your chairing your finance committee, it speaks volumes. You know, I call them the three amigos between Jay Gould himself and Pierre Chagnon as the leadership of the legislature. And it's been great to work with them. I've had a very engaging last year with them that really helped us get through our COVID crisis, our budget crisis during COVID, and now the ARPA funding. So, again, a great deal of experience with Chuck. You know, we'll be sad to see him go, but I told him don't go too far. We'll be reaching out.
Very good. Speaking of the legislature, the panel recently approved the 2022 budget that cuts the levy by $271,000 and the tax rate by $41,000. You mentioned to me off air that you have signed the budget. Your thoughts about it? Any concerns going forward?
Well, you know, the concern is, and this is what happened when when I proposed my tentative budget. There were some options we could have taken, but I figured as we looked at it, the options may have cut the budget too close. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the criticism that's been out there is, you know, this budget isn't sustainable with the increase. To the contrary, but we don't know what's going to happen next year. Just like many people didn't know what would happen in 2020, we're not sure exactly, you know, in 2021, things came back much better than anticipated. The hope and the belief is those trends will continue. But you always have to pay attention to, you know, the 2023 budget, the 2024 budget, respectfully. If you listen to our finance director, you know, this budget is part of a five-year plan. So somebody, well, what's the five-year plan? Well, the five-year plan we could show you today may change in a month, it may change 2 months. So it's constantly evolving in that as the numbers come in, they change as they project out. But more importantly, the 41 cent per thousand reduction was another about 10 or 15 cents below mine. And reason being is we saw a reduction, a substantial reduction in our Medicaid payment. And also our sales tax revenue for that last payment or the payment in October was considerably higher than anticipated. So what we felt may have been risky to reduce the overall rate lower wasn't as risky when the numbers came in. They were more factual. And when we sat with the finance team, they're like, this all came in at the 11th hour. And the legislature took a good hard look. So the most important thing, you know, again, we look back on what people criticize the budget about is, yes, your rate went down, but your levy went up. This year, our levy went down $250,000, which is substantial. When you consider, again, adding 40 positions to our employee FTEs and still reducing that levy. So, in all, we've done a really good job. But different from other budgets, you know, we listened to, and I remember listening one Sunday morning, the mayor of Jamestown spoke about the positions he wanted to hire and the hopes that the funding will be there in 4 years. We're not doing that. We haven't used the ARPA funding for those budget or our positions.
Right.
We're using recurring revenue to cover those. So we're in a different position. They chose one path. We chose another. So we just don't want people to confuse it to think that's what we're doing here at the county, because that's not what's happening.
I know the big ticket item as far as reducing the tax levy so that it's a negative number. It's gone down in the coming year's budget. That's mainly because of Medicaid payments changing for the first quarter of the year. Is there anticipation that's going to continue or that it might come back and hit you again?
The anticipation is it's going to continue. One of the things we've been fighting for the last 2 years, and it was something that was on our radar prior to COVID, my very first NYSAC meeting, January of 2020, when I took office, we all as county executives were very concerned about the Medicaid numbers and Medicaid reimbursement rates. So we fought for that. We pushed that hard. We did see a change in that, and that's what we're seeing in this return. So the belief is we're continually pushing that from NYSAC, and we're seeing those reaping the benefits. So the belief is it's going to continue. Yes.
Very good. You're listening to Community Spotlight this week on the 6 Media One radio group stations. I'm News Director Terry Frank. Chautauqua County Executive P.J. Wendell, newly reelected County Executive P.J. Wendell, is my guest this week. P.J., I wanted to go on to this week's COVID-19 numbers, which did go up to 313, which is, I believe, the highest number in about 3 weeks. What concerns do you have going forward? People are inside more now with fall fully here and such.
Well, we're looking at it in all facets. What we're seeing are the numbers going up. But again, what I also encourage people to look at is the number of active cases right now in Chautauqua County. We have 259 active cases. So you sometimes question, well, if there's 313 new cases, how come there's only 259 active? Well, there are people that come off that list, and it's a rotating list. The numbers we're looking at more importantly are the hospitalizations. That went from 21 down to 15. Again, we talk consistently with hospitals and their administration and nurses to find out what the census is, how many people are sick, on ventilators, et cetera. So those numbers we're constantly watching, and we're seeing those numbers go down. The overall numbers of COVID going up, yes, it's a concern. It's always going to be a concern. But, you know, that's a very challenging position, because we have the vaccine. The vaccine's been out now almost a year.
Right, and you got the children's vaccine coming out now.
Right, so again, why are we seeing these numbers? That's the big question. You know, we have seen cases where fully vaccinated people have tested positive. That's a concern. Again, so, you know, all in all, we're still encouraging residents to be aware that the disease is still out there. It's still very deadly. We had 5 fatalities. That's the most important figure. When we look at those numbers, the first one I look at is, you know, any new fatalities. And unfortunately, you know, we have had those numbers increase. I think went down, but still 5 people on that list or 5 fewer people that have been lost and tragic to those families. So, you know, we're looking at all of our options. We're looking at, you know, where we stand as far as messaging. We spoke yesterday about the quarantine process. And there are new new guidelines that they're looking at. You know, whether or not they get adopted will be remain to be seen. But you know, the quarantining right now, it's a very, you know, that hasn't changed. We're still following the same quarantining policy we started in March of 2020. So again, do we reevaluate that? I think we should, because you know, the quarantining is challenging in some cases, and you know, it's but it's a tool that's working. And you know, one of the things that's concerned me, and we spoke about it, and I meet with my COVID team every week, and you know, we said, well, this is how we do things in public health, and I totally agree. But you know, the way we do things in public health now, relatively the same way we did it in 1918, is get people vaccinated, get, you know, so we went back to the quarantine, the vaccination. So in some ways, 100 years later, you know, we're still using the same techniques, and it's proven to be successful.
Right.
So we'll just keep working.
How about the vaccination clinics? The county's still running those. How can people get vaccinated through that?
The best way to go is to chqgov.com and click on our health department link. We do have vaccination clinics continuing. I got to double check on we did through the month of October have it at Chautauqua Lake Central School, but we're still continuing them at JCC in SUNY Fredonia. Now with the children's vaccine becoming available, we're entertaining, actually negotiating contracts, I guess, to be in both the colleges and setting up our vaccine clinics there. So, again, we're still working. The vaccine clinics are there. The best way to do it is to go to chqgov.com and find out where those clinics are held.
Chautauqua County Executive P.J. Wendell with me this week on Community Spotlight. Finally, P.J., I did want to talk with you about being on hand at the Chautauqua Center in Jamestown for the ribbon cutting on its new pharmacy. I understand they're also working to do the same thing in Dunkirk. What does this do for health care in the county?
Well, what it does is provides that one-stop shopping that we talked about, you know, yesterday. When somebody comes in, you know, I know for myself, I go to my doctor's office in Jamestown, and then, you know, we used the former Lakewood Apothecary, now Wegmans. And if I forget to stop on the way home, or depending on what route I take, I don't go by Wegmans. I'm like, oh, geez, there it goes. I have to go back out. If you're feeling ill, you don't want to go back out. Yeah. Whereas this case, residents can and patients can get their medication before they leave the facility. And any education needed on that medication, whether it's new medication or new dosages, the pharmacist can talk to them, educate them right there. So it's a great one-stop shop, and it's providing a great necessity in the city of Jamestown for those patients.
We've got about 1 minute left in the program, and since you're just newly reelected and you're getting a full four-year term now in office, what do you look forward to in the next 4 years? What goals have you outlined for that time period?
Well, I said it during the campaign. We want to increase our economy in our businesses here in Chautauqua County, grow the economy and expand it to from where it is right now. We also want to strengthen our communities, you know, invest in our housing stock, investing in the safety of our communities, you know, i.e. the opioid epidemic we have here. How do we combat that? How do we get early intervention with our young people and mothers, pregnant mothers, especially with our Smart Starts program? Dr. Chasnoff is nationally known, and we are starting a program here in Chautauqua County that will be nationally recognized with our efforts. After that, investing in our future. You know, our infrastructure is old. In many cases, water lines, sewer lines need to be fixed. You know, we reached out. Senator Gillibrand's office came in last week. We spoke about infrastructure projects. So we've reached out to municipalities to ask, you know, what their needs are, should there be any, and how can we bring that money together. You know, when you think about it, $100 million in infrastructure can be spent rather quickly. So, you know, one of the things I did urge the senator's office was, get money directly to the county and us for to be able to distribute that. When it gets to the state, it gets bogged down. And we're concerned that the bigger counties are going to take up the money, kind of a hunger game. So, you know, those primary areas, you know, investing in the future, strengthening our communities and expanding our economy are the keys that for the next 4 years.
P.J. Wendell, if anybody would like to contact you, need to contact your office, how can they do that?
Best way to do it is just call the office directly at 753-4211 or reach out if you go to chqgov.com and click on the county executive's page. There'll be a spot there to leave an email. And I do. I have quite a few emails that come through from residents about different things, and we do the best we can to serve them or at the very least get them in touch with the right agencies that will help them.
All right. Chautauqua County Executive P.J. Wendell, thanks so much for the time as always.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's been Community Spotlight for this week. I'm Terry Frank. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk with you again next week at this same time.